The following message is from Pastor Steve Lee of Emmanuel Community Church. More information about the ministry of Emmanuel Community Church can be found at emmanuelcommunity.org.
Today's service is going to be a little different. As you know, we sent a team for the second year in a row now to Mañadero, Mexico, for a short-term mission trip at the beginning of August. And we want to share with you stories that came out of that trip. It was a huge team, and we had 8 different ministries, everything from construction to VBS to medical to dental to cooking and special events and evangelism. And there are more stories than we could possibly share in this service. And so what we've done is we've asked all of our Mexico team members to wear their team t-shirts. And so why we did that is we want to say after service, look for someone wearing one of those t-shirts and ask them their personal story of what they experienced in Mexico. You know, Evan Ma was healed of this like hearing loss that he suddenly experienced. And we're not even gonna share that story here. Evan Lee lost his passport as we were heading to the US border. And it was an insane set of circumstances that had to perfectly line up for us to cross the border with him, not leaving him in Mexico, and still catching the flight back to Chicago. That story in and of itself is unbelievable. And we're not gonna even feature that story today because there's just too much to tell. Rather than preaching a traditional sermon, what I'm going to do is I'm going to weave some brief reflections from Scripture that go along with these testimonies that you're going to hear today. And let me begin with Ephesians 3, 20 to 21 to set up John's testimony. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I think there is something so special about what we experienced in Mexico last year that I think many of us who were returning this year felt a little nervous that we might be disappointed if God didn't work in the same way the second year. And I think often we approach God when we're asking him something like this. We pray and we hope, but at the same time, we sort of brace ourselves for disappointment. But Scripture tells us that we worship a God who is able to do immeasurably more than the things that we ask or imagine, who often exceeds our greatest hopes and expectations. And from the very beginning of the trip, I think God seemed intent on reminding us that he is far greater than any of the obstacles or challenges or limitations that we face. Last year, it was already a significant logistical challenge to take 46 of our church members to Mexico. So I'm not sure what we were thinking when we upped that number to 58 this year. For months, we have been planning every detail of this trip, from travel documents to transportation logistics to housing arrangements and preparing for 8 different ministry teams. Just getting everyone from Chicago to San Diego, then across the U.S.-Mexico border, and then down to that mission base in Mañadero required an unbelievable amount of coordination involving flights and buses and vans and SUVs and Uber rides. And we thought we had everything figured out until all of our carefully laid plans suddenly fell apart at the border. And so I want to invite John on to come and tell us what happened.
God is good
all the time.
I was the one that was actually a little afraid to go on this mission again this year because we had such an amazing experience last year. We witnessed so many of God's miracles, and I wonder, what if we don't experience God's presence and his work in the same way this year? So I prayed hard. God, let us experience your hand at work. Let everyone know that you are with us. At first, everything went smoothly. All 58 of us arrived safely at San Diego Airport. We split into groups as planned. The leaders would take the cars and vans, while the youth would take a bus across the border. My car went to In-N-Out for lunch, before crossing the border. Then I received a call from Pastor Steve. John, is missionary John with you? We have a problem. Our unaccompanied minors are being detained at the border. We found out that just a few weeks earlier, the regulation has changed. There has been a lot of child trafficking recently, so minors under 18 could no longer cross without their parents or notarized parents' consent. Suddenly, we were scrambling. We contacted parents for notarized permission. We tried to reconnect parents who were also on the team with their children. We decided to move some minors into the cars and some leaders to the bus so that everyone had the best chance of getting across the border. So I drove to the border and sent the leaders from my car to take the bus. Then Pastor Steve called. I told him, I sent the leaders to the borders. And Pastor Steve responded, you did what? I don't remember anything afterwards. Clearly, there had been some miscommunication. But somehow, everything worked out. Everyone made it to the bus just as he was getting ready to leave. At first, you could say, we just got lucky. But when I look back at everything that had to happen, I realized how many details had come together. First, I originally wanted to book the bus for 12 p.m., but Adriana, missionary Kim's wife, insisted that we book at 1 p.m. If we booked it at noon, we would have never made the bus. Second, the bus group, they were relaxing at the McDonald's near the border before crossing, but they decided to cross early. If they had waited just a little longer, they would have missed the bus. Third, none of our cars or vans had crossed yet. If even just one car had already crossed, not all of us would have made it to Manadero in time. And fourth, despite all the last-minute changes, 34 out of our 36 bus passengers made it onto the bus, while the remaining people fit perfectly into our cars and vans. We gave the people on the bus random tickets since we mixed up all the rides. When we reserved the seats, we had to make sure that every person's name matched their passport exactly because we were told they would check each ticket before boarding. But they didn't check a single name. Coincidence? Maybe. But then I experienced something personally. We put all medical supplies in our car I was driving because passenger cars rarely get searched at the border. But of course, my car got pulled over. The only Spanish I knew how to speak was no habla español. The agent told me to get out of the car, then to open the trunk with his hands. At the bottom were two large suitcases full of medical and other supplies. On the top were five carry-ons, and on top of that were five personal bags. The agent pointed to one personal bag. It was my bag. Then he pointed to one carry-on. It was also mine. I opened it, and I opened up the bag that had my underwears, showed him my underwears. Okay. He looked at it, nodded, and waved me through. Now, I'm a number guy. Out of all those bags, the chance of him randomly choosing those two bags, both mine, were less than 1%. You could call all of these things coincidence, but I saw them as God answering the prayer I pray before the trip. God, let us experience your hand. Let us know that you are with us. And God reminded me that he was with us. He was sovereign over the timing, the delays, the changed plans, the border crossing, even which bags were opened. God is always at work, even in the smallest details. Sometimes we just need to open our eyes and recognize his hands. God is good
all the time.
In my defense, I told John that I was sending him all of the unaccompanied youth so that they could reunite with their parents as a team and cross the border together. And in exchange, I said, send me adults that do not have children under 18. But instead, many of the ones that were sent to us were the parents of the children I had just sent to him. So we still had a bunch of unaccompanied minors. Nevertheless, I repented. I didn't talk like a pastor should have talked at that moment. Sometimes the obstacles we face are circumstantial, things outside of our control, like unexpected problems that we encounter at the border. But at other times, the greatest limitations are the ones we place on ourselves. Our fears, insecurities, and a sense of inadequacy can cause us to assume that God can't use people like us. Justin's testimony reminds us that God is able to work through us even when we are afraid or uncomfortable or unsure of ourselves. So let's welcome Justin as he comes to share his story.
Hi, my name is Justin, and this is my testimony being the light of God's love everywhere that I had the opportunity to write in the back of a San Diego airport. This summer, I was blessed with the opportunity to serve on the mission trip to Monteadero, Mexico. I served on the VBS team at the Monteadero site, where I got to lead the game station. I had the chance to serve many children through our games, but I also created close bonds with multiple kids. This led to serving them through conversations, worship, food, and prayer. I was truly inspired to see these kids give all their energy and also have so much fun while doing it. It helped me witness how God is changing so many lives in so many places. One moment that helped me see God's work was during our prayers our team led on the last day of VBS. We had the opportunity to pour God's love out onto the kids through prayer and send them off. This was emotional because I knew there was a chance that I wouldn't see them again. I decided to pray over the kids I talked to the most, including Juan, Dorian, and Christian. And even through the language barrier, I knew that God was present and working in all of us. I realized that God is not limited by things that limit me. And even though I couldn't communicate perfectly, God could still use me to show his love. And praying for them, I felt God calling me to step outside of my comfort zone and pray for a group of girls I hadn't interacted with as much. I was nervous, but I decided to follow God and pray for them anyway. I realized that my fear and discomfort did not have to stop me from answering God's call. Instead, I trusted God while I was uncomfortable, and he allowed me to serve these kids. During our last worship, I was filled with his love and was so moved by what had happened. I realized that one reason God had brought me down to Mexico was to teach that he is bigger than my limitations. My fear, uncertainty, and even the language barrier could not stop God from working. I learned that I didn't have to wait until I feel completely comfortable or confident to serve him. I just need to trust him and answer his call. And now that I'm home, I want to take what God taught me into my everyday life. I want to serve more people at my church, at school, and even in a lot of my communities. I know I will still have moments when I feel uncomfortable or unsure, but I can remind myself that my limitations do not limit God. What started as 4 days of playing games and spending time with children became a reminder that following God means trusting him even when I am uncomfortable and serving him whenever he calls me. Thank you.
In Exodus 4, verse 10 to 12, we read, Moses said to the Lord, "Pardon your servant, Lord. I have never been eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant. I am slow of speech and tongue." The Lord said to him, "Who gave human beings their mouths? Who makes them deaf or mute? Who gives them sight or makes them blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go, I will help you speak and will teach you what to say. On the field, we were constantly confronted with our limitations. Most of us could not speak Spanish fluently, and often we didn't know what to say or how to connect with the people we were serving. In Exodus 4, though, Moses responds to God's call by focusing on his own limitations, particularly that he wasn't an eloquent speaker. God doesn't tell Moses that those weaknesses that he confessed were not real, or that he just needs to be more confident in himself. Instead, God reminds Moses that the effectiveness of his calling rests on God's presence and his power. And I think that's just what Justin experienced in Mexico. His fear, discomfort, even the language barrier were real. But God was not limited by them. God calls us not to depend on our ability to overcome all of our weaknesses, but on trusting in his ability to work through people like us who are willing to obey even when we feel inadequate. Sometimes the limitations that we face are obvious, like language barriers or unfamiliar surroundings or difficult circumstances. But sometimes what derails us from seeing how God is at work in our lives arises when the comforts that we take for granted are taken from us. When we find things to be uncomfortable or inconvenient, it can be hard to think about a deeper meaning to what we're experiencing. All we want to do is to get back into our comfort zone. Emma's testimony is about how God used the discomforts of the trip, not simply as obstacles to endure, but as a way of reshaping her perspective and teaching her to see his goodness with greater gratitude. So Emma, please come up and share your story with us.
One of the main things I've taken away from this trip is to stop feeling entitled to anything, but to approach everything with gratitude, humility, and thankfulness. A few days before traveling to Mexico with the team, Pastor Praise gave us Catalyst team members a sermon to prepare us for the upcoming trip. He told us that in Mexico, we have to uphold certain cultures as a team. One of those cultures was called the culture of no entitlement. He told us that we weren't entitled to anything and that we need to approach missions with a heart of humility. It didn't hit me until we were actually in Mexico that having a heart of gratitude was really hard to uphold. I found myself complaining a lot on the trip, like, it's so hot, I wish we had fans in our rooms. I'm tired, and like, why do I have so many ants in my bed? I started to miss all the comforts of home, a clean, comfortable bed, air conditioning, and being able to shower every day. It was hard not to let these thoughts control me, but then I started to see how the people we were serving in Mexico spent their entire lives in these conditions. Most of them have never had air conditioning, clean beds, a good education, or even a phone, things that I took for granted and felt entitled to every day. Who was I to complain? This thought really humbled me, and I realized how blessed my family and I are and how entitled I've acted before going on this trip. And wait, I have access to so much more than the people we are serving, and I complained when I didn't have access to these things. God opened my eyes, and now I'm much more grateful for his provisions in my life. I also took my family's love for granted. I was a part of the Campo VBS team, and each day we would see that the kids only wanted to be shown love. They wanted to be picked up, carried around, played with, and in general, they just wanted to be seen. Before leaving for Mexico, our team talked about how their parents work all day, and when they came home, they didn't have the energy to show all their love to their kids. After I heard this and saw the kids in person, I felt like I've taken advantage of the love of my family and how my family is always there for me. I haven't always treated them how they ought to be treated, and I really regret my actions. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." This verse reminds me that I should always approach things with gratitude and humility, and that I'm not entitled to anything in this world. I don't want this lesson that I've learned to only be a memory associated with this Mexico mission trip. I want gratitude to become a part of my everyday life. I want to be more thankful for the things that God has given me, thank him for his provision in my life, and treat my family with more love and appreciation. Most importantly, I want to remember that everything I have is a gift from God, not something that I'm entitled to. Thank you.
Emma quoted 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." notice that Paul does not say to give thanks for every circumstance, but in every circumstance. Our gratitude is ultimately rooted not in how comfortable our circumstances are, but who God is and what he has given us. When the heat or the exhaustion or the ants or anything else consumes our total attention, gratitude can remind us that God's purpose is far greater than these difficult circumstances. He is still present and at work even in the midst of them. Sometimes the challenges and limitations that lie before us seem impossible, unmovable. We see a broken body. We learn about a painful history, and the need that is presented before us is far beyond anything that we think could possibly be fixed. But Jerry's testimony reminds us that God is doing far more than we can see or imagine. So let's welcome Jerry as he shares his story.
Prayer is the opportunity God gives us to join him in something big that he is planning to do. Last year, I experienced being invited by God into something big he was doing at Casa Gabriel, the orphanage for children with physical and mental disabilities. Most of these children aren't able to engage in conversations and are confined to wheelchairs. They depend on the love of others to engage with them in worship, prayer, and play. Oh man, they can worship. Squeals of joy, hands flailing around. You can see their faces light up, and they love being pushed wildly through the building and out of the building as the missionary team cheers them on. But there was one boy, Victor, who didn't seem to experience that same thrill. Victor was in a reclining wheelchair. His hands dangled off the sides, barely able to move. His face seemed paralyzed, and his head stayed in one position. The only response he seemed to be able to make was a slight movement of his eyes. When it was time to pray for the children, three of us gathered around Victor. It was awkward at first because we didn't seem to have a way to connect with him. But as we prayed, I began touching his face and rubbing the top of his head as if he was my own boy. I felt such a strong love for him. And I could feel the love of Jesus pouring out through us into Victor. That became the highlight of my entire trip. Every time I shared that experience afterward, it made me cry. I walked away touched by God's love for me as he used me to love this wonderful boy, his special creation. Later, I learned Victor's story. When he was 2 years old, he was a perfectly healthy boy. Then his father threw him out the second story window. Victor had lived with these disabilities ever since, but God continued his great plan for Victor this year. On the way from the border to the mission base, missionary Adriana told us, "Victor, the boy who was thrown out the window is now feeding himself." I said, "Wow, praise God." I couldn't wait to see him again. When we arrived at the orphanage, there was Victor in an upright wheelchair with joyful expressions on his face, spooning Jell-O neatly into his mouth. I began to sob. I asked Adriana, "How did he get like this? What happened?" She replied, "Nothing. He just became like this. No surgery, no treatment. It was God." And then came a moment I will never forget. When it was time to say goodbye, I was face to face with Victor. He was giggling, his face full of joy. He reached out with both hands and touched my face and grabbed my hair. I was blown away. I don't know if Victor recognized me, but I was filled with joy because in that moment, I felt like I was receiving back from him the same love of Jesus that God had allowed me and so many others to give him through our love, touch, worship, prayer, and play. And that's what God showed me through Victor. Prayer isn't just asking God to do something. Prayer is God inviting us to join him in something he's already doing. All of us as a church, as a mission team, as those who met weekly with each of the team members throughout the summer preparation, and those who committed to prayer and support through our letters, all of us were given the privilege of being invited by God through prayer to be part of his great plan for his beloved child, Victor.
Thank you, Jerry. Ephesians 3, 20 to 21, what I read at the beginning says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever, amen." I began the presentation with these verses, and Jerry's testimony powerfully captures that truth. He went back hoping simply to see Victor again, but what he encountered was something far more than what he had expected. That same boy he remembered lying almost motionless was now sitting upright, feeding himself, laughing, reaching out, and expressing joy. And we may not always understand exactly how or why God works the way that he does, but we can still stand in awe and see the evidence of his work that is bigger than our expectations. And this was true not only with Victor, but throughout the trip. God is bigger than the obstacles in front of us and enabled to do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. And our privilege is that by his grace, he invites us to be a part of that work. Sometimes the limitations we face are not logistical or circumstantial or even rooted in fear. Sometimes we simply come to God totally spent and with nothing left. We are exhausted and grieving and emotionally depleted and painfully aware that we do not have the strength to give what others need from us. Rochella came to Mexico feeling that way, wondering what she could possibly offer. But her testimony reminds us that God is bigger than even our emptiness. He does not only work through our strength, sometimes he does his deepest work precisely when we have reached the end of ourselves and have no choice but to depend on him and the people that he places around us. Rochella.
I serve in the medical ministry for the Mexico Missions team. When I signed up for the team 6 months ago, I felt so confident and so capable. I can speak some Spanish, and I'd gone on similar trips in my youth. I was full of so many ideas of how to prepare with a team and engage our students, but those plans were blown away when my 84-year-old father became critically ill in April and then terminally ill in May. Only 5 days before the Maniodero trip, we transitioned my dad to comfort care. Juggling his care with work and parenting left me completely feeling unprepared and weathered down to threadbare bones. The week before we left for the trip, I was convinced I would break down physically and not be able to go. My prayers became desperate cries, asking God for forgiveness because I felt like I was coming on this trip with nothing to offer the team and the people of Maniodero except empty hands and a broken heart. It was really hard for me to come on this trip because I knew that there was a good chance my dad wouldn't be alive when I returned. But I also felt an unexplainable conviction that all God asked of me in that moment was to just show up, and he would do the rest. My dad ended up passing away on the third day of our trip. My husband Andy informed me just as I was about to start seeing patients at our Flores site, a small drug rehabilitation center that partners with our missionary church. I stepped outside and just wept for my dad. I didn't know how I was going to go back into that clinic and see patients, let alone do it in Spanish. But you know what? God is good. I felt not only God's love giving me strength to be present for my daughter Eden, who was with me in Mexico, but I also felt my dad's love, his love for me, and his love for Jesus, giving me hope and strength to just put one foot in front of the other and to wait on God with each step. That evening, when I shared my story with the team during our testimony time, they completely enveloped me in a corporate prayer and embrace that God just used to fill my emptiness. I felt so much love. And that love, which I honestly didn't expect, filled me enough so that two nights later, I was able to gather the team to pray for another team member who had just shared their own testimony of struggle. I didn't do that because I'm gifted at leading prayer. I did it because God used the brothers and sisters on that team to fill my emptiness with so much of his love, so that that love just had to be poured out in even a small way for the next person. From a medical standpoint, there are too many stories to tell about what God did through our team for the people of Manadero and how he used it to bless us and to be blessed by each other. I'll give you a few snapshots. I served alongside Dr. Young Kwang, Dr. Steve, Christine Kim, our pharmacist, AJ, Wes, Ephraim, Isaiah, and my daughter Eden. I was blessed to work with this crew. They were amazing. Not a single complaint all week, even though we were sweating literally 24 hours around the clock. We're using stinky scrubs, short on water, and had toilets that just weren't working. We ministered to families in four communities through makeshift clinics, and most days we even went to patients' homes to do house visits in the blazing sun. The students took patients' information in Spanish. They checked vitals and blood sugars. They packed and dispensed medications, and they taught patients physical therapy. We even ministered to several people on our own ICC team, as you may have heard, who had developed various medical issues almost on a daily basis. The students' eagerness to help, no matter how mundane or sophisticated the task, it humbled me. I stopped seeing them as kids that I was just chaperoning and started truly seeing them as brothers and sisters in Christ, partners in the gospel. Dr. Young was the yin to my yang in co-leading with Christine. He savored the pauses in clinic, and he never stressed, always ready to gather the group in prayer. That willingness to pause is exactly what led him to step out of a busy clinic the day my dad died to find me and pray over me as I wept. Our team offered prayer to every patient, and we even offered to wash their feet as we prayed. That was Young's idea. Knowing that in some of these communities, children go barefoot and adults wear sandals on dusty roads all day. I wasn't sure our students would be able to do this. I can tell you, I was hesitant. But our students didn't bat an eye. Each one of them took turns kneeling down, washing feet, and praying over the people of Manadero again and again. Watching them take that step of faith challenged my own faith and made me want to be a better person. Christine was my roommate and my teammate. Aware of what I was going through, she always gave me a squeeze of the hand or a tearful look just to let me know she was there for me in my time of grief. And she worked so hard, getting up early before the rest of us or staying late into the lunch break to make sure the meds were ready. Every single student on the medical team uniquely demonstrated a servant's heart, and some of them ministered to me in ways I'll be forever grateful for, even seeking me out during our Wednesday service and praying over me as I wept for my dad. I witnessed during that week that many of us share in some ways that vulnerability of feeling empty-handed before God. But I learned through what God did on this team and in the people of Manadero that no act of faith is too small for God's kingdom. We just need to show up and trust him to do the rest.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 to 4, it says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God." God meets us in our pain through his presence, and then the comfort we receive becomes the very comfort we are able to offer to others. This is what happened with Rochella. On the day that her father died, she had nothing left to offer. And yet God met her through Dr. Young stepping out of that clinic to pray with her, through Christine quietly caring for her day after day, through students who sought her out to care for her as well, and through an entire team that surrounded her the night of her father's death to pray on her. Then two nights later, she took the initiative to lead the entire team to rally them in prayer around another team member who shared very vulnerably what he was going through and who also needed to be carried by that community. She was able to help pour out to others what she had received and been poured into her. And as a mission team, we witnessed 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 4 lived out right in front of us. What we experienced in Mexico 2 years in a row now as a church is church in one of its truest forms. We lived together, served together, sweated and suffered together, confessed things to one another, and prayed for one another, and even carried each other when we had felt that we had nothing left and were completely empty. Titles and degrees didn't matter. Age didn't matter. We were all just simply brothers and sisters in Christ. And we became deeply aware of how much we needed each other. Part of what makes coming home so bittersweet for us mission members is that we find ourselves wishing church could feel like that back here in Chicago. A community where we can truly be vulnerable and known, sharing one another's burdens. But maybe the lesson of Mexico is not that there is something magical about being on the mission field or on a mission trip. Maybe it is that many of the distractions and barriers of ordinary life were just simply stripped away, and we got a glimpse of what church was really meant to be. The same God who carries us through exhaustion and grief and weakness in Mexico is here with us in Chicago. The same Spirit who moved among us and was present when we did all of that work there is in our homes, in our workplaces, in our schools, in our small groups, in our church. And we don't have to be on a mission trip to experience that kind of community. The invitation is simply to trust that the same God is still at work here and to live with the same openness to the reality that He is bigger than any of the challenges and limits we face.